Simply the Gospel is a Bible study resource ministry of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. Hello, this is Jim Pursley, thanking you for taking the time to listen to this audio devotional sermon series from the Gospel of Matthew. This sermon series is supplemental to our downloadable Matthew study, which you can find on our website at www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship.com. Please visit our website for this and other useful resources. You are listening to Lesson 9, entitled, Jesus Came to Save Sinners. A theme running through all four Gospels is that Jesus came to seek and save sinners. I never get tired of talking about this. This is why he came. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through chapter 9, verse 8, this is illustrated through two amazing events which took place on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel. These two great stories unfold. One occurs in a remote region just across the sea called the Gadarenes, and the other takes place in Capernaum. And Jesus was on a mission in both cases. He was going to save sinners. That is what he was up to. He came to seek and save people who are lost, people who are lost in their sins. And if you remember from Matthew 1:21, this is what the name of Jesus means. He shall save his people from their sins. Friends, this should cause us to shout with joy. He saves sinners. We can tell our friends, he saved me. We can tell our friends who are unsaved, he can save you. And invite them to believe on him and to receive forgiveness of sins as they repent and turn toward him. But in this first story, as he crosses over to the Gadarenes, to seek and save two men who were possessed by demons, he came to men that were absolutely hopeless. They couldn't save themselves. They couldn't even think about reaching out for salvation. So Jesus, in this story, we see him on a mission initiating the seeking and initiating the saving. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, in the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, where Zacchaeus was this tax collector that had stolen from his neighbors, and Jesus found him in a tree as he's walking down a street with a crowd around him, and he says to Zacchaeus, pointing up to him, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for I am going to your house today." And he tells him, salvation has come to your household. But he says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." So I think, without question, Jesus' mission to the Gadarenes was a mission to claim his sheep, to bring them back, because these demoniacs belong to him, not in their sinful condition, but as he would save them. They were his. He owned them. They belonged to him. They were his to seek and to save. Well, this story provides us with great insight into this glorious truth that Jesus indeed came to seek and save a particular people known to him and to the Father. John chapter 17, verse 6 through 10 says as much. As Jesus was praying prior to being arrested, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them." Jesus was on a conquest to save sinners for the glory of God, the honor of his name, and even his own glory, as Jesus said. I think we can say without question that Jesus saved a particular people. He sought them out. He seeks out those he will save. And it becomes evident in this story. First, we know this because Jesus went to the demoniacs, he crossed the sea. He had to cross the sea. He landed on the shore. He got out of the boat. He was looking for them second. The spirits who possessed the demoniacs knew that Jesus came to drive them out. We can also see that their helpless situation is hopeless. They're helpless and hopeless. They were chained and they were bound to demons. Literally, they had broken chains that people had tried to fasten them in, and they could snap those chains, but the worst bondage was the bondage of being captive to evil. How sad for them, for their whole lives, apparently, at least their adult lives. They longed, they were in need. They didn't long for anything. They were hopeless. They needed one who was stronger and strong enough to set them free. And that one, named Jesus, had come. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. He was telling a story about the fact that he is the one who is strong. He says in verse 29, "Can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possession unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house." Jesus is that strong man. He came to seek and save the lost. Do you realize that you and I were hopeless when Jesus found us? Ephesians 2:1 says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Jesus didn't come to try to set the demoniacs free. So Jesus didn't come to try to save us. He came to save without fail. Ephesians 2:4 and 5 tells us that he saves us without fail according to his great love. Here's what those verses say. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." In the same way, Jesus was bent on saving the men possessed by demons. So we have a Savior who is also bent on conquest. A Savior who will not and cannot fail to save completely. Why? Because he came to seek and save his lost sheep. John chapter 10, verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." What's this look like? You're sitting there listening to someone talk to you about Jesus, and then all of a sudden, your heart comes alive as you recognize this is true. I hear the voice of the Savior calling me to believe, and I believe on him through faith. This is John chapter 10, verse 14 in action. "My sheep know me," Jesus said, "because he knows his sheep." Chapter 10 of John, verses 27 through 29, say this. As Jesus again was speaking, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And verse 30 says, "I and the Father are one." These are great biblical supporting scriptures to support the truth that Jesus saves for keeps. He is a Savior bent on conquest. I want to point out to you in Matthew chapter 8 that demons aren't stupid. They know things. They knew things of the highest order. They knew things that humans need to know but refuse to know. First, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Look at verse 29 of Matthew chapter 8. The demons shout out, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" They shouted. They knew he was the Son of God. In Mark chapter 5, verse 6, when the demons first see Jesus, they come running to him, falling down in submission to him. We don't do that. In our fallen human nature, we often strut right up to God with our chest puffed out, making demands on him. That is what we do by nature, according to our fallen nature. Therefore, we are in desperate need of the work of the grace of God in our lives to set us free, to help us to see, to take the blinders off, to take the chains off, that we would see Him for who He is, and then to truly repent in humility before Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, the last part of verse 17, "For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." We need God to work in our lives, to open our eyes, to give us revelation that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And demons aren't stupid. I've said it already. I'll say it again. Their knowledge, though, didn't change them. When they first saw Him, they came running up to Him and they fell down asking what He wants. But now, rather than being changed, they continue in their wickedness. They know that they're going to be judged. They know there's an appointed time for judgment. We see in verse 29, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" And they preferred to be driven into a herd of pigs. There was no desire to repent, even though they had full knowledge of who Jesus was. They knew Jesus to be the Son of God, but yet they wouldn't repent. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, knowing this doesn't change anyone. It doesn't change the nature of demons, and it doesn't change the nature of sinners. It's important for us to understand. And without the direct intervention of God, without Him directly working to give us a new heart, a new spirit, we might say a new nature, we too could know much about Jesus and still die in our sins and be given over to the judgment of God. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27 teach us about the necessity of God saving us through Jesus. But He is responsible for giving us a new heart. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Praise the Lord for His work of grace, that He saves, that He gives a new heart, a new spirit, that He gives us a new nature, that He causes us to be born again. Because if not, we too could know much and be fully informed and yet die facing the judgment. Does this frighten you? If so, I ask you right now to cry out to God through faith in Jesus Christ, asking Him to save you now. Well, let's move on to the second part of our lesson, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Jesus goes back to the shores of Capernaum where He helps a paralytic. This man was helpless. You got to say, oh, happy day for this paralytic. He had friends who brought him to Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful part of the story? Some men brought to Him a paralytic. They were His friends. And we see in the other gospel accounts that they tore the roof off of the house and they burrowed down through that roof and laid him before our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to have friends like that? Are you such a friend to your friends who do not yet know the Lord? But this man, this paralytic, was stuck. He was helpless. He was as good as dead. But they brought their friend to Jesus, the Redeemer. These friends are agents of grace for Him. They're instruments in the Redeemer's hands. Do you realize you can be an agent of grace, an instrument in the Redeemer's hands before some of your family or friends? We're like this paralytic ourselves, and so are your friends who do not know Jesus. We're helpless and without hope. We're in desperate need of God's grace. All people need God's grace. But in this story of the paralytic, we see that Jesus moves toward the man. We see Jesus initiate His healing. Did you notice where Jesus aimed His first work of healing? Did you pick up on that? He didn't say, "Rise, get up and walk." But He said to him, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." He first forgave the man of his sins. This ruffled the feathers of the religious community. They grumbled in their hearts that Jesus blasphemed by equating himself with God by offering the forgiveness of sins. They were angry that someone was forgiven. Sinners who are forgiven don't complain about mercy and grace, do they? But the religious leaders who missed the grace of God indeed were filled with hostility and anger and judgment against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn from this passage that Jesus indeed had power to forgive sins, and to prove it, he told the man, "Get up and walk." And the man got up and walked, and he went home. And the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. The man was sent home. What a happy home as this new man walked through the door. He left home helpless and came back whole. This could be true for you today. You may be saved, but you're paralyzed in a particular sin. You're helpless. You're needing help, a change of attitude, a change of heart, a change of desire. What area do you find yourself paralyzed? Would you come to Jesus right now, seeking him and his grace? He says the mercy seat is open for you. The throne of grace is open for you. Would you come to him and rise anew, free, walking a new walk, living in his grace, full of joy and peace? I can think of an area in my life I'm struggling, and I'm going to do that. Jesus came to save. He still saves hopeless and helpless people, people that are in need. We can rejoice in a Savior like that. Thank you for listening to Simply the Gospel. Until next time, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you.